If you would join me in our prayer for understanding of God's Word. All-knowing God, you have satisfied our hunger at sunset and held us close through nights of wrestling. Now let the daybreak with your blessing awaken and illumine us by your word. By whom we hold your likeness. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Genesis chapter 32, verses 32 through 31. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford at the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at that thigh muscle. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, brother in Christ, for continuing to lead us into this time of awareness, God's presence in our lives. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for how you continue to get our attention, to remind us that we belong to you even in the struggle, especially in the struggle. Thank you for your grace through it all. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. We continue today to look at that long-running soap opera, the first soap opera in history, The Family of Jacob. It continues, and just when you think you've seen it all, something else happens. Jacob does something else, makes another decision, and we wonder, how in the world does God continue to have patience with this person? How in the world does God continue to choose to work in the life of this particular person and in this family? And then right when we think that, right when we have that epiphany and we think, boy, am I smart and I am really sharp and thank goodness I'm not like Jake. Oops. Then how does God continue to work in my life, in my home, in my journey, whenever I turn away? God does it because God loves us, loves you more than you can imagine. Jacob has been on the run again. In this particular, or leading up to this particular passage, Jacob is on the run from his uncle, Laban. And there have been some shady dealings with his uncle. And he's trying to get away from him. His uncle has been pursuing him. Well, he comes to this particular place of decision and this particular geographic location. And guess what? He hears that his brother is coming to meet him. Now, this is not something that he's thinking in his mind is going to be a pleasant family reunion. Oh, great! Esau's coming to meet me with his army of 400 men. Oops! Maybe it's not going to be a happy family reunion after all. And he's got to make a decision. Some have said that Jacob specifically sent his wives, his family, all of his possessions, all of the livestock ahead as an offering, okay? And specifically to try to make peace with Esau. While other commentators have thought Jacob was sending them ahead because they were going to have to take it. Esau was not looking forward to seeing his brother, and Jacob is thinking, well, maybe Esau's army will run out of people once they've taken care of all of those folks that I've sent on ahead, and then there will be nobody to take care of me. And if you think, well, how could a person of Jacob's stature ever think that? Remember, this is the person who tricked his brother. This is the person who tricked his father. This is the person who tricked his uncle. This is a person that has relied on trickery his entire life. And now he is at a position where he's up against it. Do you know what I mean whenever I say up against it? Maybe up against the wall. You got to make a decision because things start crashing down around you and you got to say, okay, who am I really going to trust? Who am I going to put my trust in? And what happens and what takes place is a wrestling match, for lack of a better description. In fact, it's mentioned as such in the Bible. Now, I don't know if any of you were ever fans of the WWF or WWE, World Wrestling Federation, World Wrestling Entertainment, but my brother and I, growing up in Pittsburgh, would watch studio wrestling. It was on a smaller scale, and not only would we watch studio wrestling, but he being the older brother, me being the younger brother, he would like to practice moves on me down in our basement. Has anybody ever had a brother like that or somebody in the family? They'd like to practice moves and throw me off the couch. And, well, it worked on wrestling. That won't hurt Neil, you know, much. That explains a lot, actually, landing on the head. And there's a wrestling match that takes place here as well, but it's more of a striving, if you will. It's not practicing those particular moves that I've just described and maybe are running through your mind right now in one of these wrestling federations. It's more of a striving. It's a holding on to. It's a struggle. And it's interesting that Jacob, the one who relied on trickery his entire life, now is striving for something more, something different. All right? He doesn't even realize it at first, I don't believe, whenever he first started wrestling with God, of what he was striving for. But eventually, after holding on to God and not wanting to let go of God, he realized, this God is what I've needed all along. All of the times that I made decisions with my own self-interest, all of the times that I lived with that motto, looking out for number one, all of the times that I simply tried to gather more and more stuff because I thought that would keep me safe or protect me, all of those times proved to be so empty in the end. And now, in the most difficult time in my life, facing some of the greatest challenges and not sure what the future holds, as I'm striving with God, this is what I really need. God. This is what I really, really have hoped for all along, and I didn't even realize it. And this struggle ensues all night. There's something about night and day, not only from a biblical witness, but also physically. I mean, at nighttime, especially in certain places of the country that don't have a whole lot of lights, it's pretty dark, isn't it? Anybody grow up in the country? First time I ever stayed at my great aunt Kate's house out in the country in Virginia, and we turned off the lights, I wondered what happened. It was dark. And it wasn't that I was afraid, but I thought, my gosh, this is a whole level of darkness. And one time I went down into a Torred coal mine. Anybody ever ever work in the mines or go down into a mine and take a tour? When they turn the lights out, you can go like this. You don't see anything. So in the darkness, there's this striving, there's this grappling. And Jacob's not even sure at first who he's wrestling with. And then for him, it becomes a wrestling with all the things that he valued in the past. It becomes a wrestling with who he thought he was. And then there's this acknowledgement that he has in his mind, and even more important, his heart and soul, that he is wrestling with God here. And he starts holding on. And he says, I'm not going to let you go. What happens then is that after that struggle, Jacob is given a whole new name. Previously, his name was Mud, okay? Yeah. You know Jacob? Oh, that conniver, you got to stay away from him. That trickster, you don't shake hands on any deals with Jacob, okay? You're going to lose out. And now God has given him a new name. Israel. And it points to a striving with God to be what God seeks us to be. To receive God's grace, to be able to receive God's love in the fullest way, to completely be open. And so that even in the times of struggle, even in those times of challenge, when we're truly wrestling, there's something more that is going on, even if we're not aware of it. Even if we're so focused on the struggle, we forget the blessing that is happening at the very same time. This story is about that. Jacob is given a new name, given a new definition of what his life is to be. And from that point forward, there is a change. And he's a different person. God has done that in our lives as well. That as we have struggled, as life has kind of tossed us around and thrown us around, and we have bumps and bruises to show for it, we understand as Christians that struggle doesn't mean we're somehow out of God's grace. Struggle doesn't mean that somehow God is not at work or in control in our lives. We understand as Christians that the greatest struggle that the world ever experienced, the most darkest time, Jesus on the cross pointed eventually to resurrection, to an empty tomb, to hope and to eternal life and salvation. Because of that struggle, because of that great darkness, we have new life this very day, this very moment. And just like Jacob was given a new name, so are we given new names as well that point to the fact that even in the midst of struggle, in the greatest darkness, we never lose hope. And those new names, Christian. But just like Jacob, there is one question that remains. How is Jacob going to live into that name? How is he going to live that new call of God upon his life? That question is there for us as well. How will we live into that new name? Christian. How will we share God's love that is so overflowingly given to us? How will we share God's grace that is unending? You hear what I just said? ending in our lives? How will we welcome the stranger? How will we show hospitality? How will we point towards the resurrected one, our source of hope, not only in what we say, but in what we do? How will we live into that name of Christians? You know, whenever there's a task ahead, and whenever there's work to be done, you always want to have a good meal, don't you? Yeah. And this church certainly likes to eat. Potlucks, cookies. We always have something in the walk-in. So if you're ever hungry here and you stop by, go ahead and check it out. You know, there's always something laying around. I shouldn't say laying around. That's not as appealing, is it? Maybe. But you want to go ahead and strengthen yourself for the journey ahead. Jacob wrestled with God. He was about ready to cross over into the unknown. And yet because of that struggle, because of holding on to God and understanding that God is what he needed more than anything else, and in fact, actually, even though he was wealthy and had a lot of possessions, God is all that he needed. That's kind of a strong statement, isn't it? God is all that we need as well, all that we need. But there's something else that God has provided us with. Coming out of the struggle, coming out of that realization that God is all we need, God is going to feed us this morning. And we are all invited to this table right here. This very table. This is a table of love. This is a table of grace. This is a table of hope. And this is a table that reminds us that God is with us on the journey. Out of the struggle, out of the darkness, into a new hope, claiming a whole new name, God fills us as his people. And the name of those people are Christians. This table was first celebrated by our namesake, Jesus. What he did was extraordinary because he gathered his friends, those who were following him, those who were learning from him, those who had struggled, and those who are taking on a whole new name. And he said, this is not simply bread to feed your stomachs. This is my body broken for you to sustain your souls. To remind you that even in the midst, and especially in the midst of the struggle, God is doing a new thing in your life. And there is hope for the future. The body of Christ broken for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after that, he poured out the cup. And as the communion servers come forward ready to serve as well, we understand that this is something that we receive. Yeah, we'll be served, but we'll also receive this. And this points to forgiveness. Christians are not called to be perfect, but we are forgiven. That enables us to live life in such a deep and powerful and grace-filled way. Jesus pouring out this offering of his blood, saying, you are forgiven. You're forgiven. Whatever you've struggled with in the past, God has received, has taken it. You are forgiven. You're given a new name. You are loved. You are strengthened for the journey. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion, stewards have received these offerings of grace. You will be invited to come forward under the direction of the ushers. This is an open table. And that means each and every person is welcome to receive this reminder of God's love.